and leave the house.
Book parking with Spot Hero, a proud partner of the Chicago Cubs and Wrigley Field. Use promo code CUBS10 for 10% off your first reservation. Spot Hero, where you park.
If you see a foundation crack, it may be a sign of a larger problem. So don't just get it repaired, get protected. At U.S. Waterproofing, we're not only experts at sealing leaks, we're a complete solution to keep your basement dry. From replacing ineffective gutters and downspouts to raising settled concrete, U.S. Waterproofing has provided customized solutions for over 500,000 happy customers. Schedule your free consultation today at uswaterproofing.com and enjoy no interest if paid in full in 1 year. U.S. Waterproofing. A better basement starts with us.
Jovic Ford makes Memorial Day saving easy. Jovic has the inventory. Jovic has the savings. And now Jovic is giving you all month to take advantage. Get Memorial Day savings all month long at Jovic Ford in Plano. Jovic's massive inventory of over 400 new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs, including F-150, Escape, Edge, Explorer, Bronco, and more, has terrific Memorial Day incentives and great Jovic prices. Plus, Jovic has the lowest sales tax rate in Illinois. Right now, save $9,750 off MSRP on a brand new 2023 Ford Escape plug-in hybrid from Jovic Ford in Plano. That's $9,000 off a new Escape. You're never far from a great Jovic Ford deal. Jovic Ford is conveniently located on Route 34, just west of Route 47, about a half hour from Batavia, Naperville, and St. Charles. Jovic Ford makes it easy to buy and easy to save. Get Memorial Day savings all month long and over 400 new Fords at Jovic Ford in Plano. Plus tax, title, license, and dock fees. See dealer for details. Expires 6/3/24.
You're listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Sports Station.
John Greenberg of The Athletic comes on at 3:20. That'll be some pretty neat stuff as well.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He's a neat guy. We'll talk to him in just a second. John Greenberg, that is. Yeah, maybe Grauber. Who knows? I feel like Grauber will return one day. He will come again in glory. Will the Grauber. As we do bring in John Greenberg here right now. And guests join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. What's up, JG? How are you, man?
What's up, man? I heard I've missed a really eventful show so far.
Oh, yeah. You're going to definitely want to go back and listen to Bruce Levine. It was absolutely off the rails. He attacked our morning show, the Mully and Haw show. So he accused me of pimping him. He accused me of doing score stuff, like evil score out of context stuff. But we have the audio, man, and Bruce was all sorts of wrong. You know Bruce, man.
Bruce is never wrong.
That's true. Bruce knows all, man. We were actually, at the end, he took a quick shot at me because did you know or do you remember that Bruce and I were the ones co-hosting the show during which Adam LaRoche or Adam Eaton told us that Drake LaRoche is one of the leaders in the clubhouse? You remember that?
I didn't remember that you were the co-host for it, but I definitely remember that show.
It's really random that I was the co-host because I think I've co-hosted with Bruce maybe a handful of times in the 73 years that he's been doing the show. And of course, being a Cubs guy at that time, it was, you know, none of it made sense. So yeah, so Drake LaRoche is once again back in our lexicon.
Well, he's I got to check this thing. He's pitching in the College World Series for Division III.
Oh, is he? I knew he was playing. I didn't realize that
he joined. He was on this team, Birmingham Southern, and the school. It's an interesting story because the school has actually ceased to exist, but the team was still playing in the Division III World Series. The school shut down.
Oh, wow.
Before their last game.
Oh.
So they're playing, and Drake he had a really nice game to get him to the College World Series in that round before that.
Wow, and I'm sure if he was a leader at 7 or 8, he must have been speeches every day.
Oh, I mean, he's already got a kid, so
wow.
He's married and has a kid, and he's in college, so he's the leadership thing, you know, he takes it seriously. He's the man of the house.
Yes, he does. We are talking to John Greenberg of The Athletic. And the big news in the Bears world today is that if you haven't heard, NFL Films and HBO announced today, a few hours ago, that the Chicago Bears will be on Hard Knocks this year. What do you think, Greenberg?
Well, okay, so who is going to be the breakout star of this?
Yes.
It Kevin Warren?
Is it
George McCaskey? Is it going to be, you know, obviously Caleb, right? Or Rome Odunze? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be Chris Emma? Like, who's it going to be?
I am down. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I'll try to answer these questions. There's going to be people that are just going to be showing up that we haven't seen prior. You know what I mean?
Reporters,
they want in on the action.
All of a sudden, Jim Rose is back doing the job.
What's Rich King?
What are you doing here?
What's Rich King doing here? Is Insta Replay back on the air? What's going on?
Right. Mully's going to be there, like, with his notebook.
Yeah, exactly.
And Hahn, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're going to be back on the beat.
Every show in town is out there. Look
right,
at us.
Right. What if Potsy becomes like a big star?
Oh, yeah. Because he's the only one who will just be able to be him. He'll be the reluctant star because you know he doesn't want to be. He'll hate it. But you're right. Like, he'll be the anti-hero. Potsy could become a star out of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I think it's great because, you know, obviously George doesn't want to do it. So it's pretty funny to me. You know, Kevin Warren wants to do it.
Oh, of course.
I mean, there's like no question.
Oh, he's
been preparing his whole life for this.
This is it. This is what he's been working. He's going to be doing? He's going to be driving around in one of those triple golf carts that look like the rides at the zoo that you go on. And
he will constantly
be driving members of the NFL Films crew around.
Well, do you think he's already sent the producers the Bears.com story, you know, with him like waking up and like,
oh my God.
Yeah. And his whole boring day.
Yes.
Like, he's definitely sent that to the producers.
Yeah, like,
Eberflus's new look is going to be a big star.
True.
You know, his wife's makeover to make her look, make him look less like you.
Yes, exactly. I still contend that's the case. Yes.
It's going to be great. I think, you know what? I actually think George, I think you and I talked about this before, but I think George could come off well.
Yes.
Because he's an avuncular, like, he might look like a goof, and that's the thing you worry about. Like, I don't want people making fun of him because he's not a bad guy and he's not a negative person. Like, we can make fun of him, but like, I don't want America to make fun of him.
I agree.
You know, but like, how funny would it be though? Like, if they got him early and like get him like umping baseball games and like reffing soccer games, I think that would be like. People have no clue that the owner of an NFL team is also like a little league ump.
Yeah. I mean, he does. Actually, I think I guess it is a little league, isn't it? It's like in Sycamore or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Because I feel like Dan Weider saw this game once, like his kids' travel team. We were talking to him at a practice about it. He was talking about his strike zone. He's a pretty tight strike zone.
Oh, I could see it. Yeah, he seems like a rule follower.
You know, he's a stickler. Oh, 100%.
No, I agree with you, though, because George is friendly, he's quirky, he's low-key funny as well.
Affable. Yeah, he is. Very low-key.
Yes.
Right. I think he, if they do him right, you know, and I think they do. They don't make fun of people on that show. You know, they'll cut it, so whatever. But I think he could be a star. Like, good for, you know, and that would be nice. It'd be nice for the McCaskey. Like, listen, if the McCaskey family done a good job running the Bears, they have not. But, you know, this could be nice for them just to get a little, you know, recognition when things are possibly going well.
Yeah. I just thought of another player because obviously we'll leave Caleb out of it. We'll leave Roman out of it because we know that those guys both have powerful personalities. They're going to love Torrey Taylor, aren't they? The punter.
Oh, you're right.
Yep.
100%. The Australian punter.
Yeah, come on. Fourth round pick.
They got a bunch of, like, decent, like, funny kind of guys that are, like, you know, they have a lot of good-natured guys.
They do.
It's not like the old days with like grumpy, you know, kind of veterans, who act a certain way and then go into media. But this group's pretty, you know, pretty casual and pretty fun. So it definitely makes a lot of sense.
Tevin Jenkins, there's another guy.
Like everyone's just kind of, aren't they all like? I mean, you spend more time than I do, but most guys on the team are pretty nice.
Yeah, it's a good locker room. Like, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head to myself anyway, if there was any guys that, like, I mean, of course, there's some guys that like to talk more than others. But, yeah, no, for the most part, it's a pretty warm locker room, you know? So
Yeah. So, I mean, they're right. Now, most of these guys, like, let's be honest, most of them haven't accomplished anything. So, like, they have no reason to be, like, you know, salty or have an attitude or a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it must have been a crazy – like, you know, half hour for Urlacher because he has, you know, the this news and then the Trump stuff. That was probably tough for Brian. Like, right?
Oh,
like his motions, he's flipping back and forth. He's, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people with a lot of emotions.
Right.
I'm actually looking forward to going home and laying on my couch and just consuming everything that's going on in the world other than this little sports radio show that's going on right now, where we are talking to John Greenberg of The Athletic. I am Mark Rohde on The Score, indeed, here until 9 o'clock tonight, and talking about the fact that the Bears are going to be on Hard Knocks. I think it's so perfect. I know they didn't have a choice in the matter, but it is nice to see, whether they want it to be or not, things going in a different direction with the organization. In theory, doing things differently with what Ryan Poles has put around Caleb Williams, the supposed generational quarterback. So, whether or not it actually will be different, I don't know, but something, and I don't know, John, do you agree that something feels different about this Bears team, or do you think it's the same old stuff?
No, I mean, I think it's definitely, we're in like a, you know, it's not like we haven't had it, like moments of prosperity before. You know, I think it felt different in the beginning of 2018 when Pace traded for Khalil Mack. There was a definite buzz, like, oh, okay, things could actually be different now. Yeah. And it was, you know, briefly. It did feel like that. You know, it was like that, you know, a little bit in 2010, you know, when they got Julius Peppers to add to the Jay Cutler team. So, like, there have been these moments. You know, I think a lot of us feel that, you know, Caleb, like, watching Caleb work, it's less than, like, I don't want to say there's less worry, but, you know, he's got a lot to work on as a rookie, but it's not like he has these huge flaws he has to take care of before he can get good. You know, he just has to practice. Like we saw his, you know, the first OTA we got to see last week, and he was not great, not good actually at all. But it's not like there's something fundamentally broken with him. It's not like we were like, oh, he's got to learn how to, you know, take a snap under center. He doesn't have to do that.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I think there's a little more, I think people are a little more chill about him, but, you know, all it takes is some bad games for people to flip out. So,
or, you know, a bad OTA, you know, something like that.
Right.
That whole thing, man.
The Bears will just keep posting these, like, slow-mo videos of him throwing downfield
and
Edwards wearing shorts.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it's an NFL Films shot.
Hey, man, people buy into that. You know it, man. I mean.
Oh, they love it. Yeah.
Are you going to be at the OTA tomorrow? Am I going to see you out there?
I don't think I am. We'll see. I might. I might have to go to Cubs for something.
Okay. All right.
If I don't go to Cubs, I will. But I have a couple interviews I need to do. I got to get done.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, the Cubs, they will be hosting the Reds tomorrow at 1:20. And good God, John Greenberg, the Cubs are all of a sudden 28-29, 5.5 back in the division. Is there a way back for the Cubs this year?
Yeah. And I mean, I think you look at some of the teams maybe you could compare this team to that have been like playoff teams. I mean, like, you know, 2003, they weren't great early. They actually were 500 until like September, basically. And then you look at, you know, 2007,
mm-hmm.
that team, they were basically 500 or under 500 till September, and they got really hot in September. You know, that's kind of probably what I would compare this team to, and like, you know, as a positive, like kind of a ceiling. So yeah, I think they could. I mean, they're going to get hot. Some of these guys will get hot, but I do think there's some major issues. Bullpen being one of them. You know, you'd think they wanted Ben. Yeah, I think they probably wanted Ben Brown to be down there, but
yeah,
you know, he's got to start too. I think they can still be good, but like I wrote this last. I was at the game I went up to Milwaukee for show to start, and you know, I was not expecting that. I'm not saying I expected the bullpen to blow like a 1-0 lead or something.
Sure.
But
well, Kyle Hendricks is bad out of the bullpen if that does anything for you.
Yeah, he was good for like the first two innings, and then it just ran out of gas. Shoto, I mean, watching Shoto get kind of rocked, you know, makes you wonder if, okay, some people have kind of got a read on him because they were really aggressive early in the counts against him. You know, he wasn't setting up those kind of high fastballs or the splitter that he likes to use. So guys are just teeing off on him. Like, they knew it was coming, almost like he was tipping pitches or something. Just watching that, guys, you know, almost every pitch, you know, and he put a couple right, like, you know, kind of groin high. The guys absolutely golfed out for home runs. So he looked real bad. And that was a bad loss last night.
Yeah, no, it was, man. I'm glad you brought that up.
Bad.
Yeah, I mean, the Yelich home run, like, Yelich did look like he was just, like, ready.
First pitch.
What's that?
It was a first pitch homer.
It was a first pitch, wasn't it? I mean, he was just on top of it, lefty on lefty, obviously.
Well, right, and Ortiz, you know, the leadoff hitter, Joey Ortiz, he had an 0-2, I think it was an 0-2 fastball. And it was in the top of the zone, like kind of where he likes to throw it. But, yeah, and that was the worry. That was the worry about Shota coming in, is that he was going to give up a lot of homers. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd get his strikeouts, he'd get his guys off balance. But that high fastball sometimes is, you know, will leave you vulnerable in this league. And he looked real bad. So that's, you know, the major cause for concern, since he was kind of the guy keeping them afloat.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned the fly ball thing. We still, you know, we all talked about it, like maybe after his first couple starts, let's see what Wrigley, because I don't know, his first start, wasn't it like 40 degrees and raining and all that?
Yeah.
Maybe even his first couple starts. What's going to happen when it's July and August and the wind is blowing out at Wrigley Field and he's hitting those pop-ups and the ball is sailing? I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen, but that is, like you said, it's something to keep an eye on, I suppose, is the best way to put it.
Right, and I mean, like, you know, the good news is he faces the White Sox on Tuesday right now. So.
Yeah, that's true. They will take care of things. Man, you keep giving me these great segues here because
I'm a professional.
Yeah, you are, man. I mean, you know the only topic going right now, Greenberg, and that's Pedro Strop, Jerry Reinsdorf.
You mean Grafal.
Oh, yeah. God, I did that. I did that the other day, too. I've got to stop using the Cubs reliever as opposed to the White Sox manager.
Pedro Strop would be a better manager than Pedro Grafal.
Yeah, he would be. They'd like him.
I mean, the clubhouse would be lit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, can you imagine that with him showing up? I mean, he's great. We love Pedro Strop.
Yes.
Not Grafal. We love Pedro Strop. He was for the media, he was such a favorite of ours.
Oh, he was great.
Such a good guy.
Yes.
They would say that Tim, too, like, I'm not to get on Pedro Strop, but, like, you know, we talk about the Jake Arrieta trade. You know, it was one of the best trades, you know, in Chicago history, probably. And, you know, people in charge always made sure to remember, be like, hey, Pedro Strop was in there, too, and he's really important. Wasn't just Arrieta. It makes it even better. But anyway, back to Pedro Grafal and Jerry Reinsdorf. I mean,
yes.
I had just written a column and literally just published it, like, kind of ripping Pedro a little bit. That's right. I did rip him because I said he had entered the Boylan zone.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
And I actually felt bad for Boylan. I was like, why am I bringing Boylan into this? I feel bad a little bit. But it's true. Like, it was. I made a point. I wasn't like, it's because he's bad. It's because, like, Boylan got to that point where everything he said was just, like, silly. You know, everything he said was getting ridiculed by us, right? And then other people. Like, Jim Palmer was making fun of him.
Yeah.
Jim Palmer, the Hall of Famer, is an Orioles broadcaster, ripped Pedro by name on Twitter. That's when you've entered the Boylan zone, when people just don't, you know, there's no professional courtesy. There's none of that. They're just like, who is this clown?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what's happened. I mean, like, and so what I was trying to say is I published it right before Daryl Van Scowen tweeted out his story where he had done an interview with Pedro, where Pedro did this just like epic ass kissing of Jerry Reinsdorf. And like,
unbelievable.
You know, it's just, I mean, it was embarrassing. He's done this before with Jerry, with Getz. It's just like, and Rick, and like, it's embarrassing. I mean, like, it's embarrassing. He's the worst record of any Chicago, of any White Sox manager, you know, that's managed more than like 36 games in a season. You know, the worst by far. That's not all his fault, but like, what's he adding?
Yeah, I mean, you said Boylan, I say Terry Bevington, but the only thing, though, man, I mean, I like the Reinsdorf stuff is ridiculous, and you know the perceived kissing up and all that. I didn't really have a problem with him calling his team effing flat. Now, I did think it was a little embarrassing that none of his players were sticking up for him, but the team is effing flat, and the team is effing bad. Ooh. So I don't know that necessarily was a bad thing, other than maybe the lack of credibility that the man has.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, even in a couple of us in Milwaukee. Him calling them flat's not a problem. The problem is when he did it. And he did it after they got shut down by a really good pitcher. And that's the issue. You know, you got shut down by a really good pitcher, and your team stinks. Like, you don't have good hitters that are healthy. I mean, like, that's just the truth. Like, these are some okay hitters, but they're not good.
Yeah.
And, like, this guy was – British was good. And that was the game where you just tipped your hat, where afterwards you goes, listen, you know, he overmatched us, you know, whatever. Like, you know, we'll move on to the next day. Now it's the other games where they're scoring zero runs, you know what I mean, and they're not doing anything against lesser pitchers. That's when you should rip on them. And I think that was the problem that his players had, because you lose credibility when you say something like that. When you pick that point to attack them, when they just got beat by a really good pitcher, you sound stupid. And that's why the players, that's kind of what made me think of the Boylan stuff, even though I've been calling him baseball Jim Boylan for like 2 years. For this comp, though, that's what made me think about it, because Boylan would say stuff like, he'd rip his team, and then we'd go to like Zach LaVine or someone, and they'd be like, I don't know. You know, they would be like, yeah, he can say what he wants. Like when Corey Lee's like, he's entitled to his own opinion. Someone says, you know, when someone says you're entitled to your own opinion, it means they don't like, they think you're an idiot.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like what Bruce says to you when you say something baseball-wise he doesn't like. You know, well, you're entitled to your own opinion.
Yeah,
that's just such a tell, these guys. And we've heard from players that have gotten traded. I've heard from other reporters that have talked to players that have gone. They didn't really think much of Pedro. I mean, why would you? Yeah. You know, I mean, he hasn't done anything. So it's like, you know, it was just a real bad timing. And, you know, one of the knocks on Pedro last year when he had that veteran team he inherited is he never ripped the vets, even when they were flat and they were like, he would rip the young players. You know, he would bench the young players, but none of the veterans. I mean, listen, last year you can look it up. I mean, he hit Benintendi and Anderson at the top of the order pretty much every game, and they stunk. They're the two worst hitters in baseball. And he's still hitting Vaughn like in the middle of the order.
Yep.
And Vaughn's awful right now. Vaughn, I like Vaughn, but he's playing awful right now. You know, you look at what Council's done. Council has second most highest paid player, I guess, this year, Dansby Swanson hitting eighth because he's terrible.
Yep. Yep.
And Pedro won't do that. And listen, I wish I would have made this more clear in like my column. I mean, I did a little bit, but like that rant was directed at Jerry. And that was made obvious by Daryl's interview. It was directed at Jerry because Jerry's like, what's wrong with this team? Why, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
when you say directed at Jerry, you mean it was stimulated, like he was trying to impress Jerry? Is that that's what you're saying?
He was trying to say, like, I'm taking care of it, Jerry. I know what, you know what you're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get tough on these guys because Jerry's miserable watching this team as he was last year. That was 100%. Now, once I read that from Daryl, I was 100% convinced. That was totally directed for Jerry. It was totally a show.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, that, I mean, he doesn't need sense. To do it for Getz because Getz, like, knows the team's bad. But,
wasn't there a story, the reason I hate that I'm doing it like this, but wasn't there a story about, or maybe it's out there, that the only reason they kept, that Jerry kept him is because they didn't want to pay him?
Which I believe. Cowley put that out.
Cowley, that's
like
right.
Like a random column. It was like in a Bulls column. And he put that out.
That's right. It was at the end of a Bulls column or within it.
And like, that's like, listen, a lot of people in baseball believe that. I don't know if anyone's got it confirmed, but like, that's pretty much what people believe. I mean, it didn't make any sense. Why would you keep him last year? After last year? Like, it didn't, you know, unless he's just really kissing up to Jerry. But no, I've heard he doesn't want to pay him, especially for this year. Where they knew they were going to be bad.
Yeah.
So we all believe it. I don't know, like, how rock solid that is. But, like, you could tell it bothered them because they, like, instead of just, like, not answering it, like, you know, I think Jerry put out a statement through Bruce. and then, you know, there's something. I think Getz addressed it. But, like, we all – I mean, like, he's not getting an extension, so.
Yeah, I mean, you think he's still gone after this year? Then I don't even know what his contract is. Is this the last year of his deal?
I believe it'd be 3 years. Okay. Yeah, so this is his second year of three. So it would be after this year.
Yeah, so they just will quietly.
They can't be paying him much money.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I can't.
I mean, he's got to be the lowest paid manager in baseball, if not, or like one of them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I was thinking about that. Like that manager, not just even symbolically, never like the guy who is, you know, part of the before the rebuild, that guy never lasts. I mean, we saw that we're going to see it with Grifol. We saw it with, you know, Dale Swaim with the Cubs. We saw it with Ricky Renteria. I bring up all
twice.
Those. Yeah, twice. He wasn't allowed to be part of the team when it was good. I'm thinking about there is a manager in baseball who overcame the odds, and the White Sox just played them. And after that the Baltimore game, his name is Brandon Hyde. And I think that he needs a little more credit because he endured some awful, awful stuff. And he gets to finally bringing the rewards.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, and Brandon Hyde was, you knew Brandon Hyde probably a little bit from his Cubs days. Like, I didn't know that he was going to built to be a manager, but apparently he's doing a pretty good job with the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, no, you're right. He really came up with it. I mean, there's like a, you know, a handful of guys that, you know, there's a guy in Philly, Brett Brown. They let him, he was with those really bad Sixers teams.
Yes.
In the NBA. He got to do it too for a little bit until he got fired. But yeah, Hyde, good for Hyde, man. I mean, it's crazy. Baltimore, like, was terrible and they really, you know, sank to the bottom and they made the most of it. They built a really deep farm system. I mean, you look at that. They had one draft where they got, I think they got Rutschman.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a Gunner.
Wow.
Gunnar Henderson in the same draft. And it was like right before the White Sox, and the White Sox got Vaughn. It was seriously like right before Vaughn was like third, right?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was first. What's his name? Rutschman. Then they got Vaughn third. And then it was like 42 and 45, and they got Gunnar Henderson 42, and the White Sox got some pitcher you've never heard of at 45.
Yeah, he's rehabbing.
He's in the minors somewhere.
Yeah.
He's in the minors somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like the difference, right? That's the big difference of the Sox rebuild is they absolutely botched those drafts. Now, like, I think there was some bad drafts and some bad first rounds, but like, they didn't get, you know, they had those bad years and they didn't get anything out of it. Whereas the Cubs got, at least can say they got Schwarber and Bryan, you know, if everyone else wasn't that great. But they did get Schwarber and Bryan.
Yeah.
They got Vaughn and Madrigal.
Oh, man.
You know, and that's just like, that'll do it, man.
Yeah. You know, the funny part, yeah, the you know, Gunnar Henderson, I don't know if he's still leading the major leagues in home runs. I know he was at least tied for it when they were playing the White Sox. He's a second rounder. He might be the only, like, when you go on given days, the Baltimore Orioles have, like, all top 20 first round picks
right.
in their lineup.
Right, he's like the low man on the totem pole.
Yeah, kinda. Man, the White Sox. Yeah, I don't even know. Like, do fans even have the energy for it anymore? Because like the emotional roller coaster built leading up to the core that the White Sox had, which a lot. I thought the Sox were in position to win when everybody was healthy and the pitching staff looked great and Giolito and all those guys and Rodon for a while. And then now it's like just that fast, the slide is back on. Does anybody trust anybody to rebuild this team at this point? I don't know that Chris Getz is the guy.
Yeah, you know what? I think Getz's future maybe, or like, you know, whether it's with public opinion or not, kind of rests with that starting rotation in Double-A. And I don't know if he got all those guys because I know Rick made some trades at the end. But that Double-A rotation's really good right now. Mm. Really good. And that's kind of like, you know, I know from talking to Getz, that's kind of his plan. It was really focus hard on young pitching, not Cuban sluggers or like whatever, but like
change it up a little.
Just really get a deep young pitching staff that's cost controlled and whatever, and then go from there. And like, listen, you still have to do all the other things with hitting. It's not easy, but like, you got to pick a lane, and that's the lane he's picking right now is going with young pitching. So if that works, you know, you can have a quick turnaround. But, I mean, the hitters are just absolutely dreadful. And Eloy's going to be gone after this year, whether he's traded or whether they just don't pick up his option like they didn't do with Tim Anderson. There's no way they're going to pick up his option. I mean, that's like, that's a fate. You just can't. I mean, especially with how much, you know, they're drawing about 15,000 a game right now. So things aren't great, you know. They've already, the chef who created the milkshake, the famous milkshake, has been traded to the Bears. Yeah, he works for Levy.
Really?
And Levy got the Soldier Field contract, so the milkshake guy's been traded.
Oh, man. And weren't the Bears, like, ranked pretty low for their food service last year? And
they're switching to Levy.
Okay. So, man.
They've switched, yeah. So, yeah, their food's terrible. And I just was texting with Ryan Craig, who's the chef, you know, the brains behind the Campfire Milkshake. And he said he's got some plans for some fun stuff at Bears games.
Oh man.
Can you imagine that? A viral milkshake? The Bear Claw milkshake. He's smart. This guy's like knows sports and he knows like how to do things. There will be, I guarantee it'll be like a Bear Claw milkshake.
Oh,
he's right? And people are going to talk about this.
Yeah.
And like,
all he's got to do is walk in with a tray of those into the media room and he'll be good.
Les will come back from the grave for that.
Greenberg, you're the best, man. I appreciate you taking some time, and I know I will see you soon.
And hey, you and Jim Finks, you're the two top guys in Chicago sports ever.
Get out of here, man. See you later. That is John Greenberg of The Athletic right there. Yes, he's I'm on a text chain with Greenberg, so sometimes with little inside jokes might pop up, and I don't have the time. I can't explain every single inside joke on this show tonight. You know, it was enough with Bruce. You know, I've just about had it. 312, we got about 30 minutes left in the show. It's a free-for-all, folks. Open phone lines, 312-644-6767. I do have some more bear stuff for you that I want to get to, but I'll check out some of your text messages. And like I said, if you've got a call, 312-644-6767. I am Mark Grody. This is The Score.
Don't do that pimping thing.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, it's been a show, folks. And I really appreciate you guys listening, interacting. 312-644-6767. I'm going to read to you some of the Bears' reactions to being selected to be on HBO's Hard Knocks here in a second. But as I said, we'll take some calls here. And since this show has been something, let's continue to keep it moving in that direction. 312-644-6767. Ron is on the south side. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, Grody, man, really enjoyed that conversation about the White Sox. And he talked about Lloyd being gone, and so will Yoan Moncada. So, Grody, is it at this point, if Luis Roberts comes back healthy, because I don't, care how good of a player, if they are not reliable. And see, my thing is, this team is not going to be good for a couple of years. Yes, they have some good pitching prospects at AA, but there are no position players. So that's my thing. I just think at this point, because he just like them, he's just not reliable. I would maybe be trying to talk to Atlanta after they, because their offense is really suffering. So that's pretty much. And then, one other quick thing. I hope Fetty continues to pitch well, and hopefully maybe they can make a trade with Baltimore. And Baltimore has to realize that in order for them to compete with the Yankees, they're going to have to bring some pitchers in. They're going to have to be willing to give up some of those position player they weren't willing to do, even when the Sox were talking about with C. So that's it. And just enjoying the show, Grody. Always enjoy listening to
I appreciate you, Ron. You're the best, man. Love Ron from the South Side. He's one of the great score callers. Appreciate that. 312-644-6767. I'm thinking about he's bringing up Yoan Moncada and Eloy Jimenez and even Luis Robert. And I think Luis Robert might be very good to great. They all just kind of seem like ghosts right now on this team. Like, they are relics of the past. They are parts of a failed, they're still here. It feels, and we'll probably see Yoan Moncada play for the Sox again this year, I think. But he just feels like he's not going to be around, you know? Eloy, God, you know, the way his career started and thanks Cubs and all that. Like, now we have to sort of reevaluate even that trade. I still think the Sox probably won it just because of Six Cease, but I don't know, man.
I have a trivia question for you.
Oh, you do.
Who
you
currently leads the White Sox in hits? He is 40.
Oh, man. Who is leading the Chicago? It can't be somebody like Andrew Vaughn, is it?
It is Andrew Vaughn.
No
Andrew
way.
Vaughn has 40 hits, and he's currently batting .199.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. Yeah. Eric Fetty, though, to Ron's point, there you have a tradable asset. In his last start, unless I missed one. At least, let's just leave it that Baltimore saw him close up. They saw Eric Fetty go 6 1/3, allowing zero runs. Now, Baltimore won the game. But, yeah, I mean, to Ron's point, they saw that going on. Yeah, there's just nothing. Like, we've talked about the White Sox more than we ever have this year because of the ridiculousness that has happened. You know, an interference call that we all got excited about. And that was a fun 48 hours or so of quote-unquote White Sox talk. And then now we've got Pedro Grifol calling his team effing flat, and then stories about his relationship with Jerry Reinsdorf. And we got another 48 hours worth of the White Sox. And all of a sudden, they're going to fade away again because nobody really wants to talk about the baseball that's going on.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, yeah. Then there was the part about John Schriffen that everybody was obsessed with for a while. So if you're keeping track of White Sox conversation this year, it's been the broadcaster, an interference call, and the manager calling the team effing flat. There's your White Sox talk for the season.
Radio losers.
Yeah, yeah, and it's appreciated. It is appreciated when things like that happen so we can bring our focus to the White Sox. I know it's not fair, Sox. I know, but it's the way of our world. I want to read some of the – I'm looking at the official press release that I have here on my phone about the Bears. Chicago Bears, NFL Films, and HBO announced Hard Knocks training camp with the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears today announced that the club has been selected to participate in Hard Knocks training camp with the Chicago Bears, NFL Films, and HBO's unprecedented in-depth perspective at the Chicago Bears as the team prepares for the 2024 season. All right, this first quote, this is kind of, we're going around the horn here, seeing what everybody is saying about this. And, you know, the Bears have been, they have not wanted Hard Knocks to be there. They like their privacy, like many NFL teams do. But this is Kevin Warren, the new president and CEO. He says, quote, "Hard Knocks training camp with the Chicago Bears will provide our passionate fans across the world the ability to experience this unique and critical time in the history of our franchise." Again, that is the president and CEO, Kevin Warren. Way too prepared. I would have preferred him to say, "Oh, this is going to be awesome. Looking forward to it. Like the shine. It's going to be fun." But no, prepared statement. Let's see what else we got here. Who is that? No, we don't need to hear that one. Okay, here's what the Fluce said. Here's what Matt Eberflus, your Bears head coach, had to say about the Bears being on Hard Knocks. Quote, "Our players, coaches, and staff are excited to continue the process of building for the 2024 season." All right, so Fluce is not excited about it. And here's Poles. The quote, "The 2024 training camp will be big for us in preparation for achieving our season goals, and we will look forward to bringing the fans at home along for the journey." I actually like that. I actually like what Poles is like. At least he gave a little bit there. I like that. "Looking forward to bringing the fans at home along for the journey." Okay. Okay. I think he's on point there. Now, there is an OTA tomorrow, so we will obviously be asking questions about that. So we'll get some plenty of reaction tomorrow, and we'll get to see how Caleb Williams looks as well. And the Bears, too. They have gave us the official dates for the upcoming minicamp here. It will start next week, Tuesday, June 4th, June 5th, and June 6th. So it's all happening for the Bears. Lots of Bears to discuss in the next week or so. I want to play one Bears cut because I brought this up earlier with Josh Schrock. There was so much stuff. Well, it was all about Caleb Williams, the one OTA, and that was what we were evaluating, and that's the way it's going to be because that's what you're most interested in. But there was one very, I thought, substantive quote that came from the Bears safety, Kevin Byard, and it is in reference to set it up, he was asked about working with Jaquan Brisker this year.
"Just his versatility. I think that's one thing I like about playing with him because I know a little bit last year was kind of like, you know, Bojack was kind of in the back or whatever. He was kind of the boss. I don't want to see that this year, at least for us early on, just kind of working. Hey, let's be versatile. I don't want teams to get a beat on. Hey, you're in the box or I'm deep or anything like that. Let's both do the same things so teams can't really get a beat on, you know, what the coverage is. So he's been really good with that. He's vocal like I am about wanting the details of different coverages with the coaches and stuff like that. So he's very coachable. Like I say, he's fun to play with, and all the guys in the secondary is like that. So that's what you want. And like I said, the confidence that he has going to year three reminds me of myself."
I like that. I love that. I love that comment from Byard. And, you know, kind of like a little, Like, it wasn't really a slam on the way they were doing business, but he understands that there is a positionlessness that can go with the safety position as well. So I loved hearing that. We'll see how that works out with those two guys. I also think it's interesting, too, now that the Bears are officially in the spot that they were once in with Eddie Jackson, where every year they will now, I assume, going forward, and I think that eventually Brisker is probably going to need an extension, where they are looking for that free agent or that guy that they bring in for 1 or 2 years to pair with Jaquan Brisker, whereas before, for all those years, it was with Eddie Jackson. You know, where he was with Adrian Amos, they let him go to the Packers. Then they bring in Ha Ha Clinton Dix to work with him. Then they bring in Tashaun Gipson to work with him. It was all about accommodating Eddie Jackson, so to speak. Now things have switched over to the Brisker side of things, and they are looking to find people to pair with him. And this is the first of it. And it, you know, it's, you know, Brisker is still a young player in this league, beginning to come into his own. But I think that this is probably going to be a pretty good pairing. You know, Byard is probably past his days of being a Pro Bowler or, like, you know, a great player as he was earlier in his career. But I like what I'm hearing, and I like what I'm seeing watching those two guys work together. I do believe we need to take one final break here. Is that right, Robbie? All right, one final break. We come back. We wrap up this show. I am Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score. One teardrop
from my eye. This is the greatest song about Chicago ever. It's coming. With all due respect to Kanye West and for Smashing Pumpkins. Everybody's using this song on their Instagram posts, and I am here for all of it. Ready? I feel that. Just gorgeous. It's like it might be the greatest Chicago song. Or it'll be played so much that we're going to hate it because it's one of those all-format songs.
Like, this song is hot on the TikTok, very hot.
Oh, yeah. I think it started on the TikTok, as a matter of fact. And I got to tell you, man, I did not realize who is singing that song. It's, well, the name of the band, is DJO or is it DJO?
I've just been going with DJO.
DJO?
I've just been like, saying it really fast. Yeah, so no one knows. Yeah.
Exactly. But the lead singer of that band is Joseph David Keery, and I didn't even realize he's that one guy on Stranger Things. He's on Stranger Things, Steve Harrington on Stranger Things. I did watch the first 2 seasons of that show, and then I kind of faded away from it, but I liked it. I liked it just fine. But yeah, that's so he played, and a role that I really loved him in, and I didn't realize it was him until like partway through the series. Fargo is maybe my favorite series of all time, and the movie for that matter. But he was one of the villains in the Fargo, the latest Fargo, 2023 and 2024. So that's it, man. It's all the time we have. I have to go. This has been a blast. Thanks to Josh Schrock, Bruce Levine, John Greenberg, Robbie the Tree Triano. Got to witness what happened, and he put it all together. So I appreciate you, Robbie. I am Mark Grody. I will talk to you guys from OTAs tomorrow right here on The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score. One teardrop
from my eye. This is the greatest song about Chicago ever. Coming, with all due respect to Kanye West and for Smashing Pumpkins. Everybody's using this song on their Instagram posts, and I am here for all of it. Ready? It's like it might be the greatest Chicago song. Or it'll be played so much that we're going to hate it because it's one of those all format songs.
Like, the song is hot on the TikTok, very hot.
Oh yeah, I think it started on the TikTok, as a matter of fact. And I gotta tell you, man, I did not realize who is singing that song. It's well, the name of the band is DJO or is it DJO?
I've just been going with DJO.
DJO.
I've just been like saying it really fast. Yeah, so no one knows.
Exactly. But the lead singer of that band is Joseph David Keery. And I didn't even realize he's that one guy on Stranger Things. He's on Stranger Things, Steve Harrington on Stranger Things. I did watch the first two seasons of that show, and then I kind of faded away from it. But I liked it. I liked it. I liked it just fine. But yeah, that's so he played. And the role, a role that I really loved him in, and I didn't realize it was him until like partway through the series. Fargo is maybe my favorite series of all time, and the movie for that matter. But he was one of the villains in the Fargo, the latest Fargo, 2023 and 2024. So that's it, man. It's all the time we have. I have to go. This has been a blast. Thanks to Josh Schrock, Bruce Levine, John Greenberg, Robbie the Tree Triano. Got to witness what happened, and he put it all together. So I appreciate you, Robbie. I am Mark Grody. I will talk to you guys from OTAs tomorrow right here on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.